You are listening to The Point from MC3 in Lewistown, Pennsylvania. Check us out on the web at mc3church.org or find us on Facebook at mc3church. MC3, it's like nothing you'd expect.
Today, as we continue our Start Cheating series, I want to talk to the parents in the room, to the moms and the dads. And I suppose we could talk to the grandparents and the aunts and uncles as well. And I also want, just like I said last week as we were talking about to moms, there's a lot of stuff in here, even if you're not a parent, that I think you can take away. So I don't want you to totally just check out, but understand that today I want to talk to parents. I want to talk about what it looks like to cheat as a parent. Many of you, as a parent, have seen one of these. At some point in the very early stages of your parenting, this became a part of your furniture. I mean, it became part of your life, the crib. And this crib is not mine. So there you go. Now you know. But you got a crib. It was part of the furniture. And of course, the purpose of the crib was when you, assuming you went to a hospital or shortly after the birth of your child, you needed a place for your child, your son, your daughter to live, to sleep, I guess. Not live. That would be, well, we'll talk about that later. But you needed a place for your child to sleep. This was sort of home. This became their crib. And you put their crib all up in their crib. You know what I'm saying? All right. Anyway, but this was the place where your child would spend the early few years, you know. And if this looks like one of those convertible kinds, is it the kind that convert into like the daybed dealy? Okay. So you could even use it a little bit later. But the crib was something that was right away, you know. And I would assume, you know, I don't want to assume anything. But in the days of registering, when you register for your baby shower and all that stuff and the way things work, usually this is high on your list because you need a crib. Because you need a place when your child comes home from the hospital, put them to sleep so they have a place for them. And so this is, like, there's usually no question. And nobody says, what, you're getting a crib? Why would you do that? Like, that's a given. But here's the thing, right? When you have kids, when your baby, your first, second, third, fourth, fifth, seventh, whatever, when a child is born to your home or adopted as a baby, this is a given, right? The crib. This is normal. But what is not, but should be, is this. The suitcase. Now, again, nobody would question if you put a crib on your baby registry to say that I want that for when my child is born. Put a suitcase on your registry and see what people say. Like, what? Why would you need that? The reason I think you should put one of these on your registry is because when you start with this, you're also starting with this. Because the first job, the only job, if I will be so bold, the job that you have as a parent is not to make sure that they have a crib to stay in for the rest of their life. If your child is still living in this crib as an adult, there you go. You got some issues. But your job as a parent is for this. Your job is to take the suitcase that is given to you and the moment of the birth of that child and begin packing it. Because you're packing a bag for the moment when they are no longer with you. Your job as a parent, and here's the point for this week, you need to start cheating your kids because a parent's job now is to prepare them for later. Your job isn't to make sure that they have a place to stay and sleep. I mean, that's important, obviously, but that's not what you're going to be doing the rest of their life. Your job is to be getting them ready so that they can take their bag and leave your home. That is what God has given parents the responsibility to do. And we'll talk about this a little bit more, but I think this idea of cheating, especially when it comes to our kids, and again, we've talked about this all 3 weeks. You know, we're talking about cheating. It means we're giving up something for the sake of something else. It doesn't necessarily mean a bad thing. And so cheating our kids is something, and I know this might be offensive, like, how dare you say that? I don't care. But somehow I think we've gotten this idea And I think it's culture. I think it's the connected world that we're in. I mean, just so many things that are a part of what's going on. But we've gotten this idea that our job as parents is to give our kids everything that they want. And I want to tell you that is not your job as a parent. Your job is not to give your kids everything they want. You're a mean man! No. Your job is to give your kids everything they need. And a lot of times, those aren't the same. And we've gotten caught up into this thing where, well, my kid needs this, and they need to have this thing, and they need to dress this way, and they need to be a part of this event, and that activity, and this club, and that thing. And there's nothing wrong with those things in themselves. But if you understand that your job isn't to give them these things now, but that your job as a parent is to prepare them for later, it might change some of the things that you do, some of the things that you participate in with your kids, some of the things you do as a parent, some of the things you buy or give to them. Understanding that it's not about now. It's not about this crib. Again, it would be weird if you had a 42-year-old child in your home living in a crib. On so many levels. But it's totally not strange for you to see your 42-year-old child living their life successfully. And I don't mean because they have a good paying job and 2.5 kids and all that. I mean successful because, man, the most important thing you can do is help your kids love Jesus. That's the most successful thing. But we'll get to that later. But understand that the idea of cheating your kids, I want you as parents, I want me, and I'm talking to myself, I'm a parent. We need to give up some things now, and it might even hurt or offend the world, the culture out there. It might even hurt or offend our kids, and that's okay. Because our job isn't for now. Our job isn't to make them happy now. Our job isn't to please the people around us now. Our job is to prepare them for later, is to pack their bags for later. And if we're spending our time on now, we're putting the wrong things in the bag. So, we'll come back to this idea, but I want to look at a passage in the Bible. It's kind of it's not obscure necessarily, but it's just a little snippet. And it comes from Psalm 90. Psalm 90. Interestingly enough, Psalm 90, the entire psalm, was written by Moses. Many of us know, if you grew up in church, you know David wrote a lot of the psalms, and Solomon wrote some psalms, which is just a song of praise, songa. A psalma is a songa of praise, a poetic way to say some impressive things about God. And this particular psalm was written by Moses. And in Psalm 90, Moses is talking about, basically, he's near the end of his life, we assume. He's definitely older. He's had a lot of experience under his belt. He's seen God do some impressive, amazing things. And he's just kind of reflecting on life and death. And so he's looking back and kind of pondering over his life and some of the things and just looking at how, you know, everything is in God's hands. God's in control of it all. You know, who are we? Who are we as mere humans in the scheme of who God is? And this is where the passage, you know, even if you didn't grow up in church, you might have heard the idea of, you know, with God, 1,000 years is like a day, and day is 1,000 years, and people take that to mean all sorts of crazy things that they want. But that's where, this is in Psalm 90 that Moses says that. And so he's kind of reflecting on life and death, and kind of comes to the conclusion that, you know what, man, God's in control of it all. God's got it all. We are all in his hands. And so he kind of takes this break here and has this idea in verse 12. He says, teach us, he's talking to God, teach us to number our days aright, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Teach us to number our days aright, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Basically, Moses is saying, God, give me perspective. Help me to get it. Help me to understand what's going on. Help me to get a good feel for life. Because so many of us, Moses is part of this, we're all part of, you know, we live for now, and I'm getting ahead of myself a little bit, but we kind of live for now, and we're not really thinking about the future. We're not thinking about what's next. We're more interested in making sure that the curtains match the sheets than we are making sure that they have something that's going to last when they're 24. That they're going to be able to make the right choices when a difficult decision is put before them. That they're going to make the right choices when it comes to marriage, when it comes to family, when it comes to job, when it comes to church, when it comes to Jesus. But, man, we've got the same three-piece matching set of the crib and the changing table and the storage cabinet. Because we're interested in now. And Moses is saying, look, God, help us to get perspective. Help us to think about beyond now to later. And so this is just three things that kind of come out of this brief little passage. Teach us to number our days aright, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. The first thing is the perspective. By the way, we're talking about numbering our days, and we're going to come back to why we need to number our days. First thing is that perspective must be learned. He says, teach us. Moses is saying in this prayer to God, teach me, teach us to number our days. This is not natural. We do not naturally think about the big scheme, the big picture. And we kind of talked about this during the Wounded series a few months ago about how, you know, when we're going through a hard time, we've got our own little focused blip on the picture, and God's got this beautiful, great canvas that he's painting, and we're just a little smear mark that we don't see. And so it's kind of the same idea. Like when it comes to just life in general, we don't usually think in terms of perspective. We're not, because life is hard. Things happen. Things are ebb and flow. And some days are amazing, wonderful days, and we don't even want to think about anything else because it's the best day ever. And other days are horrible, and so we can't think about anything else because we're going through a tragic time. And so this idea of perspective is not easy. We're usually so caught up with, is that child ever going to sleep through the night? That we don't think about, but make sure I give them what they need so that they can grow to love Jesus more. We're thinking about, you know, I mean, or you know, would you stop? Just stop talking. No, stop talking. Just stop, okay? You know, and again, we're not thinking about the future because we're in the middle of the moment. You know, are you ever going to come home on time? Are you ever going to come home when we tell you to come home? Are you ever going to stop spending my money? You know, like, there's all these things that make us lose perspective. And Moses is saying, and he gets that this is something that must be learned. He says, teach us, God. Teach us to number our days. Teach us this. And so I want you to understand that this is something you're going to have to be conscious about. You're going to have to be intentional about, because it's not an accident. You can't just accidentally start thinking about, oh, in one grand scheme of life, you know, it doesn't happen. We don't have those Lion King moments where Simba is lifted up and everybody thinks about the circle of life and the new king and all that stuff. No, see, we don't have that. So perspective must be learned. The second thing is that perspective has to be real. When it comes to this idea of perspective and of numbering our days, perspective has to be real. He says, teach us to number our days aright. Aright. Now, some translations don't use the word aright, and I'm not even sure why some do and some don't. Maybe because we don't walk around going aright, aright, like it's A-R-I-G-H-T. We say things are all right. Maybe we should start doing that. Be like, what's up? All right. Maybe that's the same thing. But anyway, he says, teach us to number our days aright. Means number them correctly. Help us to number our days honestly, accurately. And what he's saying here is, God, we need to be taught to kind of count the time that we've got. To number our days. And that's what he's talking about. He's not like one, two, three. I mean, the kids were doing this song where they rhymed every number with another. It's like, what was it? One, two, three, you know, I have to pee. Four, five, six. I'm picking up sticks. I don't remember. And then we went on, and we were like in the 40s. Okay? Stop! Perspective has to be learned. But numbering our days, he's saying, teach us to number our days. Teach us, God, to be honest about how much time we have. How little time we have. As parents, how little time you have in the scheme of things. As in terms of when your kids are going to be gone. Because it doesn't take long for them to go from this to this. And I'm not here all the way yet. I'm working on filling this, but I'm not there yet. Some of you, dude, you've thrown these things out the door four or five times because your kids are gone. But it happens quickly. And Moses is saying, God, teach us to number our days aright. Teach us to be honest about it. Don't just, the perspective, it has to be real. When we start, and you guys need to be real. I need to be real when it comes to our kids. When we look at, okay, my child is 10 years old. If I have a 10-year-old child, then statistically I have about 8 more years left. Then more than half of their life in my home is gone. Be honest about it. Don't be like, oh, there's plenty of time left. Because if we're not being intentional about this perspective thing, if we're not numbering our days, if we're not learning to count the time, then the time is going to be gone and we're going to wonder what we did with it. We're going to have missed out on the opportunity that God has given us, because our job isn't to have the matching curtains and the nice crib. Our job is to pack the bags, to get them ready to live
life outside of our home, to get them to live the life that God has created them to live. And our job as the parents is to give them the tools to do that. So no matter how old you are, if you have a newborn, an infant on the way, perspective's got to be real. It's got to be. We can't just kind of, it'll be all right. No, it won't. You got to be real about this. And that's why Moses says, God, teach us to number our days. Help us to be real when it comes to how much time we have left, how much time we have left with our kids, how much time we have left on this earth. And obviously, we don't know. You could get in a car accident on your way home today. I mean, that's the classic. Or this building could collapse on you. And it could. I mean, it could happen. I would say that you're safer in here. I can't guarantee anything about this building. But the point being is we don't know. We don't know how much time we have left, and so we need to be wise stewards of it. And at this series, we talked about the first week, about be careful how you live. Not as unwise, but as wise. Making the most of every opportunity. Because these days are evil. This series is all about cheating something now for the sake of later. And so this idea of having real perspective on how much time we have left, we need to make wise use of our time. But I'm getting ahead of myself. The third thing about perspective is that perspective gives us wisdom. He says, teach us to number our days aright that we may gain a heart of wisdom. The idea of a heart of wisdom, it doesn't just mean that somewhere in your heart you've got wisdom. It's an idea of an attitude that because I understand how much time I have left, because I understand how much time I have left with my children, then I'm going to use each day wisely. I'm going to live not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity. Perspective gives wisdom. And that's what Moses got. He's like, God, please teach us. Teach us. You need to help us get this. To number our days aright. To do it honestly, real, accurately. Being real about it so that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Because if we understand how much time we have left, if you understand how much time you have left with your kids on this earth, whatever, then it's going to change the way you live. I mean, we know the story, right? It's a movie line. It's a movie plot line. It's a personal thing. You know, you have terminal cancer. You're going to have three weeks to live. How do people use those 3 weeks? Whole lot differently than they do if it was just another 3 weeks of their life. And that's what Moses is talking about here. Let's get that perspective. Let's understand that we need to number our days and realize how much time we have left so that we do the right thing, so that we take advantage of the time we have and invest it, that we do that. So it comes back to this idea of cheating your kids. Because your job is not to give them what they want now. Your job is not to give them everything that they need now. Your job is to prepare them for later. Your job now is to prepare them for later. And so even if that means that this afternoon your kids want something, you might change your mind and say, well, because I understand how much time I have left with you, no, we're not going to do that. And again, the way I've been doing kind of all of this series, like, I don't like telling you what that looks like, and I'm not going to. I'm not going to say, oh, well, you need to spend this much time with your kids playing ball, or this much time not playing ball, or this much time going to the movies with your family, or never go to a movie. Like, you got to decide that. You just need to understand the perspective and then let God show you what you need to do, what you need to change. Because your job, understanding, is not for now. Your job is to prepare them for later. That is your job as a parent. And I say this, it sounds kind of cruel. Like, but no, think of all the work. Think of the kids and how much time goes into that. So what, all I'm doing this is just for someone else? Yeah. All this is for them. And that's what your parents did for you. And some of you have the stories of like, yeah, I don't have a good story of my parents. And you know, you've either risen above that or are still dealing with some of the fallout from that. But I need you to understand that our job is to prepare them for later. As a parent, your job is to prepare your kids for later. So let's talk about this. So we said earlier, it's important, Moses said, to number our days. And the reason we need to be numbering our days is because our days are numbered. Because we don't have much time left. You don't have much time left. So ready? This is going to be the most encouraging day as a parent. I just want you to know you're going to walk out of here like, yes, thank you for that. I'm so happy. So let me start out. The most encouraging thing I want to tell you about importance of the, because our days are numbered, is they won't be at home forever. Your kids are leaving you. But my sweet little, yup. They're gone. We talked last week, I shared the story about Jack crying because he didn't want to have to leave mom and grow up and move out of the house. Sorry, son, that's happening. If you don't choose to move, we will choose to move you. But the point is, you will not, your kids will not be at home forever. They won't be here forever. They are leaving you. And that is good. That is natural. That is biblical. In Genesis chapter 2, the creation story and the story of Adam and Eve here, he's talking about how Adam, Eve was created from Adam, and God's kind of sharing the story of what's going on. And this is a, if you've been to a wedding in a church, you probably have heard this passage at some point. It says, for this reason, or that is why, a man leaves his father and his mother and is united to his wife, and they become one flesh. And how many of you have heard that before? You can just put your hand up a little bit. You probably heard that somewhere, right? For this reason, a man leaves his mother and father and is united to his wife, and the two become one flesh. And we hear that a lot of times. And I just want you to get this leave idea. See the word leaves there? It's in orange, so it's kind of hard to see. This reason, like this is the way God has set it up, that a man is going to leave and a woman is going to leave. They're going to leave, and they're going to get married. They're going to be united, and they're going to become one flesh. And the Hebrew word here for one flesh doesn't just mean like a sexual thing, which is part of it, but the idea that they're going to become a whole new thing, a whole new family, not part of your thing. And that's okay. That's good. Ready? You want to hear something so encouraging, though? For this reason, a man leaves. The Hebrew word here, it means, it's azab. So everybody, azab, say azab, it's fun. Azab, yeah, azab. All right, it means to forsake, to abandon, to leave behind, or to desert. It's not a pretty soft word. It's not like, for this reason, they'll slowly move out, and it'll be nice, and flowers and roses and all that stuff. They're going to forsake you. They're going to abandon you. Your kids are going to desert you. They're going to leave you behind in the dust. And that's the way God intends it. Because our job is to prepare them for later. Our job is to prepare our kids for being out of the house. Our job now is to make them ready. Our job is to pack their bags so that they can do this thing. Because they're going to leave you, and it's good. They're going to forsake you. They're going to, whatever the other words are, abandon you for the sake of someone else. My little girl is going to leave me for some other guy. I'm the man of her life. But that's okay, because if I'm clinging, if there's messed upness there, if I'm clinging to her, she's clinging to me. I love you. I'm going to keep packing your bags. I've got eight more years or so, but then go live, because that's how God has set it up. Because I don't want her to be clinging to me. Because when she's in her mid-30s and her marriage is like, there's some tough times going on, I don't want her coming back to me. Because if she's clinging to me, then her marriage is not going to be what God intends it to be. Because it's not going to be becoming one flesh. It's not going to be united in one marriage. It's going to be kind of together, but dad's back home. And if I'm a good dad, I'm going to say, don't talk to me. You need to go work things out with your husband. Don't come crying to me. I mean, a good dad's also going to care. You know what I'm saying? But the idea of that's what God has set this up. So your kids are going to leave. So that's the one thing you need to understand. We need to number our days, because our days are numbered, because they won't be at home forever. They're going to leave. And that's good. That's natural. That's right. Second thing, super encouraging phrase for you today. Second thing you need to understand is that you won't be around forever. You're going to die. Woo, isn't that exciting? You're going to die. Sorry. Newsflash. Spoiler alert. I know how it ends. You die. And this is in James. And this is how James refers to our life. He says, why, you don't even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life?
You're a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. The Greek word here for mist is the idea of that morning fog. You know how you wake up and there might be a fog there, but once the sun comes out, once things warm up, the fog is burned away and it's gone. He said that's what our lives are like in the scheme of things. When we number our days and we understand how much time we have left, when we have this perspective of getting what is the point of what we're doing, he says your life, you're here and gone. And that's going to be the case for you. Like, when it comes to numbering our days and understanding how much time we have left, you're not going to be around forever. And probably 3 generations from now, totally, you know, raining on your parade today. But probably 3 generations from now, you will be forgotten. No one will know who you are. I mean, and maybe things will change with technology, I don't know. But think back. Do you know your great-great-grandparents? Do you even know their names? Maybe you know their names, but do you know anything else about them? That's just 3 generations. And so that's the thing. Like, you are not going to last forever. You're not going to live forever. And if you are building your relationship with your kids, assuming that you are going to be there for them forever, you won't be. So if everything about their relationship is built on whether I can come back to mom or dad and cling to them, what do they do when you're gone? Because if the only thing, if you're packing their bags with you, you jump right in that suitcase, that would have been fun to do. Get a bigger one and jump. Anyway, but if you're the thing that's in your suitcase, when they open the suitcase and you're gone, and again, I'm not trying to be awfully cruel and heartless, but if that's the only thing they've got and you're gone, they've got nothing left. You need to be packing their bags with something that's going to last, with something, well, and that's what I'll get to in just a moment here. But understand that your kids, they won't be at home forever. You won't be around forever. And then the last thing is that God's word will last forever. The only thing that's going to last, the only thing that's going to matter, the only impression that's really going to make a difference in your kids is what Jesus you leave in them. In 1 Peter chapter 1, Peter says this, people are like grass, the same kind of thing. Their beauty is like the flower in the field. The grass withers and the flower fades. Same thing that James is talking about. Here for a day and gone. Remember the daffodils? They're gone, right? They were blooming a couple weeks ago. Nothing left. He says, but the word of the Lord remains forever. And that word is the good news that was preached to you. He says, look, anything, no matter what you pack in this bag for your kids, and there's going to be all sorts of interesting things that you need to put in here. There's things that they're going to need to know. It's important they know how to brush their teeth. Good to know. It's important that they know how to be polite. That's a good thing. But brushing their teeth, eventually their teeth are going to fall out. So, you know, but the one thing that's going to last that you put in this bag is Jesus. If you want to know, if you understand, if you get the idea of how much time we have left, of how we get that our days are numbered, then why don't we invest in something? Why don't we pack this bag full of something that's going to last forever, even when you're gone, even when they are out of the home? And the cool thing is that if Jesus is what's packed in this bag, Jesus is something that their kids can hand on to the next generation and to their generation, to the next generation. And he will last. The word of the Lord will last forever. God's word, the Bible, anything that you can implant in them that is of a Jesus-y spiritual value, it is going to last. And again, that might mean for you, you need to come to church with your kids more. But if you're thinking, well, we've come every Sunday, so then we're good. No, you've missed it. So I don't know what that looks like, but understand that the only thing that's going to last is going to be the Word of God. It's going to be what Jesus is in them. That's what's going to last. That's what's going to matter. So Moses reminds us to number our days because our days are numbered. They won't be at home forever. You won't be around forever. God's Word will last forever. Now going back to week one, so take advantage of every opportunity. Be careful how you live, moms, dads, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, taking advantage of every opportunity that is out there. Because these days are evil and your days are numbered. Your days with them are numbered. You only have so much time. You only have so many hours, days, weeks, years to invest in your kids. Thinking about jumping around on you here. Can you go to... I'll come back to where we were, but can you go to slide 15? There's an organization called Think Orange, led by a guy named Reggie Joyner, and he has a book called Losing Your Marbles. And he's also the one who wrote the whole concept of the Orange families working together, and that's how we do MC3 Family, is based on this Think Orange concept. And it's a long story to explain what orange means, but the idea is the family and the church working together. And they created this thing, his book is called Losing Their Marbles, and he started doing this thing with some of the workers in his church. And what they would do is when a baby was born, they would give them a jar of marbles. And there would be one marble for every week of their life. And the math slips me right now, but it was some thousands of marbles that were in this jar. And is that right? No, that's too high. 700 and some? Yeah, so 700 and some marbles. Figured that out right away. But they would give them a marble, and the idea was that this jar of marbles would be sitting right in the nursery, right next to the crib. And every week that goes by, you would remove a marble. And after, you know, a few weeks, you wouldn't notice much. After a few months, a few years, that jar is getting lower and lower and lower. And you know, you're hitting 16 and there's not many marbles left. 17, graduation is coming up. You know, statistically, that's when they're going to be moving out. They're going to be moving on. And when you see how many marbles are left, you start making the most of every opportunity. And I want to encourage you now, you know, if your kids are older, you know, it is what it is. But if you've got young kids, take advantage now. Don't wait till later. Understand, number your days, making the most of every opportunity. Get this. Learn to see how much time you have left with your kids, because our job is to prepare them for later. And so he wrote a book called Losing Your Marbles. It's a great book. We'll post it on our Facebook page for you to read as parents. It's just a great concept about investing the time that we have. But they also create an app called the Legacy Countdown. And it's available on Google Play and the App Store. I understand there's some glitches on some of the versions of it. But it's free. And it's called the Legacy Countdown. You'll see that little symbol with it. If you want to look for that, you can do that now, later, sometime. But what it is you can put in the... age, you put the age of the graduation date, you put the age of your child, the birthday, yeah. You put in the birthday of your child or children, and then it automatically computes how many hours, years, weeks, days, minutes, and seconds you have left, maybe not seconds, and seconds, okay, until they graduate. And if you want perspective, if you want to number your days, this is a quick, maybe totally discouraging, but at least reflective way to see how much time you have left. Because again, you only have so much time, and your job is to pack the bag. By the way, all this stuff that I'm talking about, the packing the bag and the marbles, and stole it from Reggie. Thanks, Reggie. But you only have so much time left. And so we need to learn to number our days aright, so that we may gain a heart of wisdom. And so this app is a simple, free way as a parent to see, okay, this is how much time I have left. So how are you going to invest that time? How are you going to use that time? We can continue as we talked the first week. It's easy to just drift. It's easy to let now take over. But if we want to make the most of every opportunity, if we want to take advantage of the time, then we need to be intentional. And maybe this is a way that you can be more intentional about it. Like, this is how much time you have left. Because your job isn't for now. Your job isn't to make them happy. And I want you to know that right now your kids are learning. And we're behind you, parents. Dude, we are so behind you. Because it's your job to raise your kids, not ours. And right now your kids are learning that it is mom and dad's job to prepare them for later. And so they're learning from their teachers in Ignition that they're not going to get everything they want now. And then that's a good thing. And so it's okay for you to not give them everything they need right now, because you're doing something, you're preparing something for the sake of later. And so that's what the kids are getting in there. And I just want you to know that we're behind you on that. So Legacy Countdown, we'll post it on our Facebook page too if you didn't get a chance to look at it right now, which is cool because then you can pay attention to me. So if we're talking about investing, taking advantage of of the time that we have left, of recognizing that our job as parents is not for the crib, but for the suitcase, to prepare them for later. It might mean some things for you. And I just want to share these things. There's three things. I could probably give you 10. I could probably give you 20. These are just three things. I just want to give you permission. Biblical permission, or you can just say the pastor said that I could do this. So I just, because I think sometimes we're like, but if I do this, then people around me will think that I'm a bad parent. Or if I don't do that, then people are going to look at me funny. And like we talked about the first week, these days are evil. If we let the world dictate and guide how we do, if we let culture tell us how to live, it's not going to be going closer to Jesus. It's going to go further away. So if we feel that the time matters and that we need to invest the time we have left to teach our kids Jesus, to get the Word of God in them, I want to give you some things that this might mean you need to do. And again, it's a permission thing. I'm not saying you all have to do this. This is just what it is. The first thing that it might mean is direction. You may need to give your kids some direction. Your job, I'm going to make you mad. Your job as the parent is to be their parent, not their best friend. My wife has a great relationship with her mom. I love that. They're friends. They go and hang out. They do all that kind of good stuff. But that is not what a parent's job isn't, to make sure that at the end, we're best friends. Because Kendra's mom was so good at making sure that at the end, she wasn't her best friend, because I was coming along and I am her best friend, and I love it that way. Because that's the idea, that you're, as a parent, you might need to give your kids some direction. And it might be something that says, no, don't do that, do this. Sometimes you're going to have to do things, and these other things kind of affect that. But as a parent, you can't always try to be the cool parent. If you're always trying to be the cool parent that all your kids' friends like, you might have a problem, because the end isn't to be cool. The end is to make sure that they have in their bag what they need. And sometimes giving direction and saying, no, you're not going to do that, might be hard. But mom, everybody's doing it.
If everybody's kid jumped off a bridge, would you jump off a bridge too?
But you might have to give direction, and it might make you not liked by your kids. And that's okay, because your job isn't to make them like you now. You following me here? I'm not saying be mean and make your kids like, the Bible talks about that. Don't make your kids bitter towards you. Don't make them hate you. But you might have to give some direction. You might have to keep some things from them. And I'm getting ahead of myself. But you might have to say, this is what I want you to do, or this is where you should go. And if they don't like it, then that's tough, because your job is to prepare them for later. And sometimes preparing them for later means they don't get what they want now. So as a parent, you have permission to give your kids direction. You have permission from me, as the great pastor, lead pastor of Mifflin County Community Church. This is where lightning, if I had like special effects, lightning would cut out my hands. I give you permission to parent your children. Yes, that's it. I didn't come up with that idea, believe it or not. God did. And so I want to tell you that as a parent, in understanding how much time you have, understand that your job is not for now, but for later, that you have to parent your kids as a parent. That's your job. That's what it is. That's what God has put you here for. And it's not for the now, it's for the later. It's for the bag. The second thing that it might require, and this is, they're all with D, and so that's why I use this next word, deprivation. Now, understand, I'm not talking about oxygen deprivation or anything of, you know, sensory deprivation. You pack your kids in a box. See, that's coming back to the idea, if your 42-year-old kid is still living in their crib, or if you just live there, if your kid does just live in the crib, you should probably pick them up at some point, feed them, things like that are good. So I'm not encouraging you to just, you know, totally deprive your children of life, of oxygen, of things like that. But as a parent, there are a lot of things that you're probably going to have to deprive your children of. And that's okay, because that's called parenting. That's going to mean your child isn't going to always have everything that they want. And sometimes, you know, that's a good thing. It doesn't mean they're always going to have the next technology, cutting-edge technology. And it might be because you can't afford it, and they're just going to suck it up. But it could be just an issue of saying, you know what, I don't want to give you that, because I think there's something over here that's more important. It could be that you're teaching them how to be good stewards of their money. It could be that you're telling them that, you know, staring at, what was the, there was a Facebook thing that went around and said something like, you know, where are we going to go on vacation to stare at our screens this year? Maybe it's because you're going to take that away so that there's something better. Maybe, I don't know, but do you understand that? You might have to deprive your kids of things. And that's okay. That's called parenting. They might not get everything that they want. They might say, but everybody's wearing this. And you say, if you go out of my house in that thing, well, you won't go out of my house in that thing. I'll tell you that right now. But everybody's doing it. I don't care. You are my daughter, not a prostitute. Thank you. But, Mom, Dad, you're so mean. You're not my best friend anymore. Well, good, because I'm your parent. Anyway. So you might have to deprive your kids of something. And, of course, all their friends will come around and say, it's okay, hon. But anyway, you can say it's not okay and move on from there. If you don't know what that is, you have to listen to the point from a couple weeks ago. But you might have to deprive your kids of something, and that's okay. That's a good thing. They might not get everything they want. And that's because you as a parent are looking at you're getting perspective. You understand that your days are numbered. You understand that you need to put the things in the bag that matter. It might mean that they're not part of that sports team because it means that they're missing worship and connection with you at church. And that's okay. It might mean that. It might mean, I don't know, because it could mean all sorts of things, because your idea is that you're packing this bag and sometimes there's things that they don't get because you don't want it in there. Because if that's what they've got when they leave, is it what you want them to have? Is you want what them to grow up and live as? So, deprivation. And then the third thing is that as a parent, crazy idea, you might have to discipline your kids. Discipline is an okay thing, too. It's a biblical thing. And I'm not going to be up here right now and tell you, maybe that'll be some other series, but how to discipline or what that looks like. But understand that saying no or correcting your child and saying, that was wrong, this is what's right, it's okay. But what if they get mad at me? Welcome to being a parent. You might have to say that, no, you are not going out because last night you didn't come in on time. But this is the most important night of my life. You just missed it. Sorry. Guess the rest of it's going to be downhill for you. But discipline is going to happen. And that might mean removing privileges. That might mean spanking. You know, and obviously this affects, like, your infant. Sorry, kid, you're not going out tomorrow night. I'm pretty sure they're not going to be upset about that. It's part of parenting, too, is getting to know your kids, what works and what doesn't. Like, dude, I think Tommy would be like, I'm getting a spanking. Bring it on! Like, that doesn't work for him. But sometimes I can be like, Tommy, I was wanting you to do that. And he'd be like, sorry. You know, I mean, you have to get to know your kids, and you have to decide what that discipline looks like. And I'm not going to tell you what that is. Just going to call you out here, Vargas says. But I think it would be weird if you're spanking Austin. Just my call. I mean, you can parent however you want, but I think that would be weird. But the point is, discipline is important. It's okay to discipline your kids. It's okay to correct them and guide them because, again, right now it might hurt, but you're getting them ready for something later. You're helping them make the wise choices now so that they will be able to live a healthy, successful life later so that they are going to have Jesus in them. And that's really what matters, is Jesus. Your cool little technique for making that fancy food dish, that's great. But that's not going to last. Teaching them how to catch a ball, great, wonderful thing, but that's not going to last. But if you are living and teaching and instilling Jesus in them, that's what's going to matter. Because our job as parents is not to prepare them for now, but to prepare them for later. So you're going to have to cheat your kids. It might mean they're going to get disciplined. It might mean that they're going to not have some things that they might have wanted. It might mean you're going to have to give them some direction. But that's okay, because that's what our job is as parents, is to pack this bag with the right things. And I just wonder, what are you putting in your bag right now? What are you putting in their bag right now? Is it something that you want them to have that's going to last? Is it something that's going to matter down the road? So Moses says, teach us. Teach us to number our days aright, that we might gain a heart of wisdom. You don't have much time. 18 years, 20 years maybe. In the scheme of your life, that's what, 1/4? And I don't know. I'm not old yet. I don't think I'm older than a lot of people in here. But
I guess old people are sitting around bored. I don't know. But this time flies. I mean, I feel like, oh, what happened? Oh, there was 2 years sucked out of my life. Like I'm in The Princess Bride and they got that machine on my head. Some of you get that. Anyway, but it goes fast. And you can't just let it pass by accidentally. You got to be intentional about it. So our job is to prepare them for later. So I want to share you, as I said a moment earlier, at MC3, you know, we totally, one of our core values is family. And we feel that it is not the church, it's not just we feel, the Bible says it's not the church's job to raise your kids. It is not the ignition teacher's job back there to raise your kids. It is your job. Your job as parents. That is the job that you have been given to prepare them for later. God has not given me, as the pastor, the job to raise your kids. If you think that you're showing up every week so that I can raise your kids, sorry, you've lost. It's your job. However, or in addition, we want to come alongside you as parents and help you do the best that you can. And that's why we do All Tuned Up every month. We don't do that because I know Steph and Justin are like, dude, I was going to be bored this month, so where can I kill 20 or 30 hours of prep time? And I was like, I have the idea. And so then they came up with All Tuned Up. Like, that's not the point. The point is so that the parents and kids can come together, have a good time together at church. And if you haven't been a part of All Tuned Up ATU, it's over for the season. But it's a good time. It's a lot of fun. And we do that so that you know, here's where we're going this month. We're not hiding anything. We're not being secretive. If you had paid attention and All Tuned Up, you knew what we were talking about today. If you saw the crib, you would have remembered, right, that's right, we're talking about that story. Because Greg was old Greg, or was it old Wilson? Was his kid grew up? Yeah, and they were still at home. And if you don't remember that, you can, well, you have to remember. Anyway, but we do that because we want to help you do what you do. And that way we can say, hey, here you go. Here's where we're going. You can start preparing, maybe thinking, how can I talk to my kids about this? In addition, in Ignition, well, we also then give you the ATU pack. So if you're like, how can I talk to my kids about this? I've got an idea. We will give you a prepackaged idea that you can do sometime during the week with your kids. That's what the ATU packs are. If you have not gotten one, there's extra ones back there. There are 2 months for this whole series, but every week is tied directly into the point so that you can talk with your kids about it. And you're going to have some great conversations. This is, like, I'm telling you, this is the week as parents you don't want to miss because your kids are learning how they need to pay attention and obey you. Don't miss it. Don't miss it. So you can get that pack and go through that because we want to come alongside you. We are giving you tools. There's a team that puts them together and they work hard at it. We spend money on it. We spend a good amount of money on it because this is important. And so that's what happens with the ATU packs, the parents and kids. It's PAK, by the way. And then the other thing we have, of course, is Ignition, which is happening right now for kids through fourth grade. And Ignition, now for the nursery kids are being nurseried, whatever that means. But the other kids are learning the exact same thing that you're learning in here. I already said that. That happens every week. They're learning the exact same thing. Let me tell you something. That takes a lot of work. A lot of work. Because here's the thing, right? They're all basing it on some idiot who comes up with the ideas. And so I kind of say, here's where I'm going this month. And I just talked to Michelle right before we started. I'm like, how the heck are you teaching this to the kids? Good luck with that one. Because that's what they do. They take the series where we're going, and then they take the videos with Greg and Wilson and develop just, here's how we're going to teach this to kids. And we do that on purpose because it would be a whole lot easier to buy curriculum. A lot easier, a lot faster. But we do that on purpose because we want the kids to walk out of here knowing the same things that you know. And now you, get this, right? Because you were listening to me, you are now equipped to have a conversation with your kids when you go home. You've got the tools because now when they say, we learned about the importance of numbering our days, you can say, I know what that's all about. If you say it in that voice, it's not even more impressive. But we do that on purpose because our job is to help you raise your kids for later, to prepare them for later. That is why we do this. Please understand, and I'm not here whining at all, but there is a lot of work put into this because it's not our job to raise your kids. It is yours. It is your job to prepare them for later. So that's what's going on. That's what happens in Ignition every week. That's what they do, is focused on the point so that they can talk to you, so you guys can have those conversations about it later. So you've got an ATU all tuned up that tells you about where we're going anyway. So you've got a pack. It all ties together so that you have that opportunity as parents. So I want to tell you what's going to happen. There's some exciting things happening this fall, and I want to introduce it now. And it really shouldn't be my role to do this because I'm just the guy that stands back and says, wow, you guys are crazy. But I want to talk about what's coming this fall to Ignition. We're making some changes to Ignition. We're improving. We're making things better, and I love that. We've talked before. One of the things that is on the schedule, this isn't part of MC3 Family or Ignition, but we are planning to launch in the fall MC3 Student, which will be our version of youth ministry. And we're going to get more details out about that and what that's going to look like. And it's probably be very different if you're expecting, like, ooh, the kids will get to go and play games and have fun as teenagers. Like, we're not going to babysit your kids. That's not what we're doing. It's going to be totally different probably from what you're used to, but that's MC3, right? It's like nothing you'd expect. So we're planning on launching that in the fall. And with that launch, we're making some changes to Ignition. First of all, and I need to get all these in order here. The plan for the fall, all of this, let me back up and then I'll come back to this. All of this is dependent, and I need you to listen, especially if you're able to sweat, if you're able to work. All of this is entirely dependent on having bays 4, 5, and 6 completed upstairs. Right now, well, it ain't that way. It's a bunch of junk. And Michelle and Scott have been working really hard to start cleaning it up over the last month or so. But there's a lot of work that needs to be done. And we want to launch this in September. So it's May, June, July, August. So 3.5 months left, numbering our days. 3.5 months left to get this done. But here's the deal, right? The what's going to happen is downstairs, it's still going to be nursery and bay one. We call them bays because it's the whole garage thing. If you haven't figured that out, we're in a garage. Bay one is the nursery. We'll continue. Bays 2 and 3 are going to be preschool, split up into, I believe, and do not quote me on this because I don't even know what these kids look like. If you point to them and say, that's a 3-year-old, I'd be like, okay. But I believe it's going to be 2s and 3s that are potty trained or something like that, and then 4s and 5s in the other one. So preschool will be split up because there are a lot of preschool kids. You guys keep having babies. Come to that in a couple weeks. Actually, that's next week. So we'll talk about having babies next week. Anyway, so that's what the downstairs is going to be, nursery and preschool divide up so that the teachers have better access and just not as many kids crammed into the classroom. Then the plan for upstairs, and this is really cool. I love this. Michelle came up with this idea, and she's just got a great team of people, and she's just doing such a great job working with MC3 Family. But first of all, up till this point, and I believe everyone has been made aware of this, all of you have been notified as parents, but up to this point, Ignition has gone through 4th grade. Starting in the fall, Ignition will be through 5th grade. Because 6th grade and up is going to be a part of MC3 Student. So that means we're going to keep, if your kids were looking forward to getting out of Ignition and coming in here and sitting and listening to me, they're going to be disappointed now. They're going to have fun back in their bays instead of sitting in a row and staring at me. But it's going to go through 5th grade this year. There were some reasons we kept it at 4th before, just space issues. We go through 5th grade starting in the fall, and they're going to be dividing the kids up for the first time by ages. And I believe it'll be K through 1st. 2nd and 3rd, and 4th and 5th. So instead of trying to teach kindergarten through 5th graders, which is a crazy spectrum to teach, they're going to be able to divide it up a little bit more. And what they're going to do, and this is so cool, basically, obviously, you know, the kids go back during the worship. So for about an hour or so, they're back there after the worship. For about an hour, they're back there. And the way it's been, just to give you a little taste, the teachers have an hour with about 30 kids in one kid's bay. And so they have to play games in there with them. They have to teach them a lesson. And then a lot of times going, be quiet, quiet, be quiet, be quiet, I'm sure. And there's a lot of sweating because those kids are sweaty and they kind of smell. But anyway, all of that had to happen in one room. And it was a challenge. And these guys have done a great job. Kendra, Amy, and Michelle have been the lead teachers. And there's been a lot of helpers that have been a part of that. But now that we've got space, we're dividing it up into K through 1st, 2nd and 3rd, 4th and 5th. And then each bay upstairs is going to have a specific purpose. There's going to be one bay that is going to be designed for teaching. And so that bay was going to have we're going to put a big screen TV in there because we do a lot of videos. And by the way, if you don't know, we have an Ignition channel on YouTube, youtube.com/MC3Church, and you can watch the videos that we give to our kids. Again, another resource. So as parents, you have tools to talk to your kids. Oh, what about when Greg did this in the video? Now you can say that. But anyway, because we do a lot of video stuff, and actually part of the plan for upstairs is going to include a studio. Down the road, once we get the 3 bays done, we're going to have a studio in there so they can record and have that stuff ready because we do a lot in-house. Everything, pretty much.
So one room is going to be teaching. It's going to be set up that way. It's going to be designed around teaching. There's going to be a TV there, big TV for the kids to watch. There's going to be a way for the teachers to teach and present their material. Then, and I'm thinking it's the middle room, is going to be designed bay, so it's bay 4, 5, and 6. Bay 5 is going to be designed for small group interaction. One of the values, one of the part of our philosophy as a church is C1, is community. And so we're trying to develop that even in kids. And so they're going to have a small group time in one of the kids' bays where every week they're going to have a time with the same group. Now the teachers are going to rotate, but they're always going to have, when that teacher is on, when that helper is on, it's always going to be the same teacher. So your kids are going to have maybe two, let's say there's six helpers. They're going to have the same two. I'm just making up numbers, by the way. I have no idea. They're going to have the same two teachers every time, and it'll be the same group of people, so they'll be able to develop relationships and develop that community aspect that's so important. And then the other bay four, is going to be an object lesson / game room. And the point of that room is it's going to be designed and built, literally physically built, so that kids can play games pointing to the lesson or learn some sort of hands-on object lesson or craft that ties in to what's going on. And so what's going to happen is the kids are going to go up right after the music's done, and then they're going to divide up into the rooms, and then over the course of that hour are going to rotate every 15, 20 minutes. So they will have a part of teaching at a time where they're going to have a game or object lesson, and they're going to have a time where they're going to discuss things about the point in a small group setting. And there's a lot of cool things about this, and I'm running out of time to tell you all the cool things. But I think it's going to be great because it's going to keep, instead of one room, you're forcing to do all that stuff in one room. Now they can rotate rooms. The kids will get a little bit of a breather going from place to place. And it's also going to make it so that if you're a teacher in Ignition, you're going to teach one lesson. Your focus is not to figure out what the game is going to be and to figure out what questions you're going to ask for the small group time and to figure out how you're going to teach. Your job is going to be to teach, and you're going to teach it three times. And the games person, object lesson, their job is not going to be prepare all those things. Their job is to prepare a game that they can run three different times in the course of the morning so that those kids will get what we're learning that day in terms of a game. And the same thing with the small group time. So what that means is a couple things. We're going to need help to pull this off. The first thing we're going to need is those three areas. They're going to need teachers. If you're interested in teaching, that would be a great thing. If it scares you to death, then please don't. We want to. If you're afraid of teaching, you're not going to be a very good teacher. But we're looking for teachers that will be willing to do that. Even more so, we're looking for a helper. And what we mean by helper is that there's going to be a small group leader, essentially, that's going to take the kids from each of those rooms and rotate as the time, you know, be in charge of moving their group of five or six kids, whatever it's going to be, to each room. And then during the small group time, during the C1 time in the room, they're going to be the ones leading the discussion. So we're looking for helpers. It doesn't require any real preparation aside from being willing to lead the kids around and get to know your kids and have discussions with them during the small group time. So we're looking for people to help with that, because what we're doing essentially, by the way, is like tripling or quadrupling our workforce need to pull this off. And then the other thing we're looking for is people that would be willing to be in charge of a game. And again, if we get enough people, we can rotate this to like once a month. That your job is to come up with a game. We're learning this week about, you know, starting at home. Your parents' job is to raise you for later. How can we get a game to pull that off? And then your job would be to lead that game three different times for each of the groups of kids. So those are some of the things that we're needing now. It's May. We've got, like I said, 3.5 months to get everybody in place. And it's going to be a lot of fun. I think it's going to really enhance your kids' time, because the time that they have isn't just a lot of it being quiet, but also just being invested in... And please don't get me wrong, they're not just sitting there yelling at your kids all the time. They're doing a fabulous job, but it's going to make things easier. And then, of course, the biggest need that we're going to have is demolition and construction. We need to get going on that thing. We are running out of time, and I know we're busy. I know a lot of us are leaving in a couple of weeks to go do demolition and construction in Oaxaca. But those are some of the needs that we really have, and we're going to be putting together some things in the very near future so that we can get this done, so that we can get it ready and have a great environment, a better environment for our kids and to be able to teach them, because our job is to help prepare them for later. So those are some of the needs that we have. There's also some help with writing the skits. If you're interested in, if you'd like to write, we can use help with that. I'm sure we can handle some extra people if they want, if they are good at editing, technology, stuff like that. There's a lot of needs that we have, because what we're doing is not easy, but we're doing it because of the point, which is coming on the screen now.
Do you like that? Anyway, because you need to start teaching your kids. Your parents' job is to prepare them for later. We want to give you every tool that we have. Pack in that bag. Take advantage of every opportunity. Look at how much time you have left. Go to that Legacy Countdown app and just get an idea. This is how much time you have left so that you can develop a heart of wisdom. Let's pray. God, thank you so much for your word. And I know that today was kind of a depressing thing, but perhaps even a reality check. God, I pray that you would help all of us, as Moses prayed, as Moses, the parting guy of the Red Sea, the 10 plagues, the guy that got the 10 commandments directly from you. Moses even said that he needed to be taught how to number his days aright. And God, I pray that you would teach us to number our days aright, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. For every parent in this room, God, I pray, whatever their circumstance, I know there's a lot of easy things, there's a lot of fun things, and there's a whole lot of hard things. And I pray that you would help each parent in here to do the best job that they can to pack that bag as these kids move out. To pack the bag, to give them everything they need, and the most important thing, God, is you. Help us as parents to make sure that Jesus, the word of the Lord, which will endure forever, is in that bag. And that becomes our focus. Thank you so much for what you've done for us. And thank you for the parents in our lives and the way you have worked in us and that Jesus is in us now. And so that we have something to offer. It's in his name that we pray. Amen.